Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Psalm 22 and the 6th verse. Psalm 22 and verse 6. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. Psalm 22 and verse 6. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. Dear David was the author of this psalm, but though he speaks here of the many deep places that he came into in his own soul and in his pathway, he was not just the author of it, because the Holy Spirit so laid it in the heart of David to speak the sacred truths of this psalm as the voice of the dear Lord Jesus. Because really it was, as David spoke them, the words that a precious Christ was to utter. And not only that, the experience here which David had had to walk through was the same blessed experience, only in a far deeper way, what the dear Redeemer endured. And I believe if we've got the grace of God in our hearts, we shall know something of what it is to come into the places where the dear Redeemer trod, just as David was led into it. We know it will only be in measure compared with what he endured. But is there not some sweet comfort here? There may be those of you that it may be even tonight, or maybe of late, you have felt forsaken. And this is a very trying pathway and difficult path to walk in. You remember the dear Lord Jesus cried these very words on Calvary that the psalm commences with. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? But you look at the places where David came into, where he felt the Lord had forsaken him. And so often we come into the place where he forsakes us because of our sin. David knew it very solemnly and very searchingly, didn't he? But not only that, he knew what it was when in deep trouble and plagued with many enemies, when he felt the Lord had forsaken him. But you see, we must come there to know what it is for him to appear, for him to redeem us, for him to work. It's a place where no man can help the child of God. And it's a place that the flesh will not like. We often think of what the hymn writer said, the flesh dislikes the way, but faith approves it well. But these words of the text seem to rest upon me. I woke with them yesterday morning. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. It's a wonderful description what David, and not only David, I want to direct you to a greater than David that spoke these, because not only was it David that felt what he said here, but I am a man, I am a worm and no man. This is exactly what the Saviour himself knew. Oh, he did. What it was to be a worm. And I hope the Holy Spirit will help me to look at it from a few aspects of the subject. First of all, a worm is so often trodden upon and despised, isn't it, naturally? But it does a wonderful work in the earth. And the wonderful work that it does in the earth is silent. You don't hear a worm making any noise. And you see, so often where the Lord works in the hearts of his dear people, it is a silent work. And that's a wonderful thing, you know. It's like, as we think of the harvest now at this season of the year, and then will be the sowing time again. That seed is sown in the earth. And when it is sown in the earth, it lays there, dormant, silent. But suddenly, as the Lord gives life, it will put forth its roots. And those roots, silent like the worm. There may not be much seen for a season, but in the fullness of God's time will come the blade. It begins to show forth there's life there. And that is just how it is when the Lord works in the hearts of his people. So often it's hid to start with, it's silent, before there's the outward evidence. Just like this worm in the earth, it's a silent work, but it's God's work. You know, it is God that places the worm in the earth to do its work. And every worm is seen by the Lord and known to him, wherever it be. And look at it spiritually. The Lord knows where his worms are, in the earth and in the church of God. You see, a worm has to take a low place, don't it? You don't find it high up in things, it's there in the earth. And what does it set before us? And it was so manifested in the dear Lord Jesus. Humility. He knew what it was to be a worm. Humble, you see. A worm naturally doesn't set itself forth, does it? It's there silently working. And think about it spiritually. You know, it's a wonderful thing. Over the years there have been these worms in Zion, willing to be nothing, you see. The apostle said, didn't he, and he had to learn it, and so did David, though I be nothing. And oh, the more we know what it is to be nothing, and the Lord Jesus, if I may apply it with reverence concerning him, he knew what it was to be nothing. And yet he was verily God and verily man, but to be nothing. And look how he was set at naught by the Jews, by the Pharisees, by the Sadducees, by his enemies. And so often a worm is set at naught, isn't it? Trampled underfoot, despised. And oh, you think of the precious Son of God, how he was set at naught. I think it's in the Corinthians, Paul speaks of him being as a worm and set at naught. And there may be times, and there were with David, he could write this from experience, but I am a worm and no man. He could write this from experience, because you look at how Saul set him at naught, didn't he? Saul hadn't any time for David. He hunted him as a partridge upon the mountains. And he treated David as a worm. And David knew what it was to feel to be a worm. Oh, he did. And I believe if you got a real religion, and I have, and it was quite sweet to me when the word dropped in yesterday morning, what it is to be as a worm before the Lord. And the beloved Son of God was brought right down to feel just to be a worm. And yet he was the King of Kings. You look at the low places the dear Redeemer was willing to tread in and to come into. Well, take his birth first of all. Not in the fair palaces of Herod, was he, to be born, but to be laid in Bethlehem's manger. Oh, that lowly place. And look how low he was willing to stoop to come into this earth to rescue wretched, ruined man, his worms. And then you look through his walk here below, and how low he was willing to be before men. He didn't take up positions of power, did he, in government? He didn't take up positions of power among the Jews. Or to be seen of men, or to be priests in the synagogue, oh no. He made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Oh, we see in this worm gracious humility. I love that couplet of the hymn. I trust it's my soul's desire. May I as my master be, rooted in humility. I am a worm. And you see, the worms of Christ's fold are willing to obey their master. And to do as he tells them. And to be submissive to him. They don't want to be anything. They want to be like the hymn writer. I love that couplet of the hymn. We sometimes sing it at the ordinance, don't we? I'd creep beside him as a worm and see him bleed for me. You see, this word is a word that I am a worm and no man, that refers particularly, first of all, to the dear Lord Jesus. But then it applies to each one of his dear children. They've got to be brought as worms to creep beside him as a worm and see him bleed for me. You know, there's when we're like a worm, there's no room for self. There's no room for our pride. There's no room for anything of the creature. I am a worm. Contented, you see, to be but a worm. And may the Lord bring us each to that blessed place to truly feel that's what we are before him. Man, you see, he says here, but I am a worm and no man. Man wants to be something. The worm doesn't want to be something, does he? Contented. Going around, going through the earth, it's doing its master's business. Working wondrously. And may we be like that, have the mind and the spirit of Christ. And you see, the Lord will use various things to bring us to this place, to be willing to be a worm. We think of dear Job. That's where the Lord brought him. In all his trial, in all his affliction, in all his losses, to be like a worm. And what does he say? How much less man than is a worm, and the Son of Man, which is a worm. He speaks of them, you see, and Job could well speak of it, couldn't he? Because he knew what it was to be brought there. Through all that he'd had to go through, his losses brought him low enough. You see, we got to be low enough to be as this worm. And I preach this to myself because it came to me. This is, Lord, what I should be. As a worm and no man. And you look how low Job came. In his losing all that he did, in his livelihood, it brought him down to be nothing, didn't it? And then we think too of his family. It brought him right down, his losses of his sons, right down to be as a worm. Scarcely could look up, could he? And then in the affliction that came upon him, from head to foot with boils, he didn't feel like a man then, did he? But a worm. And then you think of the bitter onslaughts from Satan in his soul. The adversary attacking, you see. And a worm is so often attacked, isn't it? Looking at it naturally. The birds of the air attack it. Man attacks it. It's trodden underfoot. And you think of the dear Redeemer. We read, don't we, in Isaiah 53, how he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. But I am a man, I am a worm and no man, and no man. But I want to look at it in another way. It seemed to drop in very sweetly, that beautiful word in Isaiah 41. Where the Lord spoke, didn't he, those very sacred promises to the Church of God in Isaiah's day. And in among those sacred promises in Isaiah 41 was this word: fear not, thou worm Jacob. And you see, Jacob, referred to in the word of God by the Lord, refers to all God's dear people. Not just to Jacob himself, though Jacob knew what it was, if you look back through his life, to be a worm before the Lord. But think of this sweet promise. It's addressed that fear not. He wasn't addressed to man. He was addressed to worm Jacob. And there may be one here tonight, you're feeling in your soul, because grace has so humbled you, the Lord is lovingly dealing with you. And you feel just like this worm, Jacob. And what does the Lord say to this worm? Fear not. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Oh, fear not, thou worm Jacob. So often, you know, the Lord's dear servants feel just like worms. A worm. And you see, it's not only when they come into the depths and into the dark places they feel this. There are times where the Lord so uses their ministry and blesses the word, and they're so humbled under it and so melted by the Lord ever using such a worm, they feel just like this worm. Fear not, thou worm Jacob. He didn't say, fear not, O man Jacob, did he? Fear not, worm Jacob. it suits the sinner so well, doesn't it? These worms, that the Lord should speak to them. Well, you think about it naturally. The worm, as it goes through its work in the earth, in the soil, it goes under control of heaven. Oh, it does. And it does the work of God in the earth. And so the Lord will use his dear children, his worms, in ways that he pleases, not that they please. He'll use those for the ministry, but they're only worms. There's no room for self or man or anything when the Lord really uses us. We're just worms. In his hand, you see. And it's a very humbling place, that is. But then, look at his dear people, godly women, so often silent in the churches, and yet ever speaking to the Lord. He's given them a work to do. It's a silent work before men, but their hearts are continually pleading with the Lord. But I am a worm. And you'll speak this to the Lord. Lord, but I'm only a worm. There's nothing in me. You know, really, and I speak this as the Holy Spirit lays it upon me. You look at dear Joseph, when Pharaoh went to him and said, I am told that thou canst interpret dreams. And he'd heard how Joseph had interpreted the dream of the butler and the baker. But oh, the dreams of Pharaoh. But you look how Joseph felt before Pharaoh and what he said. Two precious things, really. The first was this. Interpretations belong unto God. We sing in the hymn, don't we? God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. And Jacob felt when Pharaoh came to him, Joseph felt when Pharaoh came to him, Lord, but I'm only a worm, how can I interpret these? Interpretations belong unto God. But the second thing was this. He said, it is not in me. God shall give unto Pharaoh an answer of peace. It is not in me. I love those words. Oh, how many times we've had to say, Lord, it's not in me. And what a mercy that is, it isn't in us. If we're worms, it won't be anything in us. It'll be all what the Lord has done and what he can do. But I am a worm and no man. And that's just what dear Joseph felt when Pharaoh went to him. But I am a worm and no man. But I want to go further as help with this word, just briefly to hint at it. You see, worms of the earth have feeling. They may be trodden on, but they feel it. They may be injured, but they feel it. But they don't say anything. But the Lord knows how they feel. and look at it spiritually. If we're worms of the earth, we will be feeling characters. And these worms spiritually feel their sin and feel their guilt. Man generally, going to Hailsham or any town or city, and you speak to many, and they don't know what it is to feel their sin, do they? But these worms do. And there was the difference between the publican and the Pharisee. The Pharisee was a man, and he prayed as a man. He opened his mouth as a man. But, the publican was but a worm. He couldn't say much, could he? But what he said was real. And what he said, there was feeling in it. And oh, how he pleads with the God of heaven. Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the cry of a worm, you see, of the earth. A poor, needy sinner. And the feeling was in it, wasn't it? And you see, when men injure you, when they buffet you, you'll know what it is to feel it. And it's felt deep in the heart, isn't it? And this is where you feel the sin and the guilt. And you say, a worm has need. And so have the Lord's dear worms of the earth. They need him. They need his mercy. They need his pardoning love. They need his precious blood. They need his presence. And they want to feel it. And want to know it. A reproach of men and despised of the people. You think how the dear Saviour was despised by the people, by the Jews, by the Pharisees, and rejected of men. How low he had to stoop. That sinners might be saved with an eternal salvation. So the Holy Spirit has beautifully left on record this word, but I am a man, a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. And the dear Redeemer knew this so well. And so were we, if we're his children in measure. What it is to be despised. Despised by the world. Despised by the professor of religion. And may even be despised by God's people left to themselves. I've often been reminded of those words, it is vain when all men speak well of you. I remember, and I may have told you before, that when I first was to venture into the ministry, my late dear grandfather, he said to me, you know, if God has sent you to preach, you'll get more kicks than you will halfpence. And I've often thought about that. You may say, well, it wasn't much encouragement. But I knew this and I knew what he meant. If it was real, you see, Satan would do all he could to oppose it. And if you got a real religion, poor soul, and a bud of worm, Satan will do all he can to despise you, trample on you. I remember dear Mr. Woodcraft saying to me once, he said, you know, you'll find there'll be those that'll use you as a doormat, and they'll rub their feet in well. And I often think about that, you know, when we're despised, rejected. So was the Saviour. And there may be those of you that are enduring hard things. And you wonder why it all comes. But you think of what the Saviour endured. His way was much rougher and darker than mine. Did Christ my Lord suffer, and shall I repine? Well, I've hinted at a few things concerning this word this evening, and I don't know why we brought it here, but the Lord seemed to lay it upon me. I've never heard it preached from, and I've never tried to preach from it myself, but oh, we long to be among these worms. Especially among those who he speaks to, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. And to what I quoted earlier, I creep beside him as a worm and see him bleed for me. May that be our longing. Amen.